What was the word?
All.
All. If you haven't been here, we've been in a series on all. And the verse for today is 1 John chapter 2, verse 2, where it says, He Himself is the sacrifice that atones for our sins, and not only our sins, but the sins of all the world. And I just want to explore that idea of all here. I was in a pastor's meeting, boy, probably 40 years ago. And one of the pastors told a story, which has now become a famous story. It's in the magazine. And he said that there was a baptism they were having. Some of you have probably heard it. It was a public hall. They had no baptistry. And so they put a tank up here on the platform. And you had to climb up a little ladder and then go in. And they had put some white sheets with some wires around so that people could change back there. The first lady was very large. The pastor's there, and this lady begins to come down, and she loses her balance, and she belly flops on top of the pastor. So here he is with this lady on top of him. That was bad enough, but the next thing was, on her way down, she tried to stabilize by grabbing all those sheets, and she grabbed all the sheets and down on top of the pastor. And that was bad enough, except that her husband was in the back changing, getting ready for his baptism, and he turned around stark naked in front of the whole church. And someone thought it would be a good idea to turn off the lights, and they heard the footsteps of this man heading out the church. And they never saw him again. And the pastor who told us in our class, he said, will that man be saved? Because the Bible says you have to be baptized if you want to enter into the kingdom of God. But I don't think he's ever going to get baptized. Will he make it in? Jesus died for the sins of all except the poor guy standing up there. Are there any exceptions to all? Four of my friends were at Pacific Union College 40 years ago. It was the time of streaking, 1973. And they thought it would be a cool idea to have streaking at PUC. And so they hatched a little plan, and they got together at 10 o'clock at night. They put nylons on, and they went running down through the camp at 10 o'clock. Almost nobody saw them. They jumped in a car, but they called the radio station and said there was streaking. The faculty figured it out, and they were invited to go to La Sierra for a quarter. The preacher preached every week, Jesus died for all your sins. But somebody still had to say to them, yes, you are forgiven. Yes, you can go to heaven. But you can't go to school here. Jesus died for all except. And if you can get to where these stories connect, is in the story of Matthew chapter 22. Where Jesus tells a story about the man who was having a wedding banquet for his son. And he invited everyone to come. But the people he invited did not come. And it says he went to the servants and he said, the wedding banquet is ready, so go to the street corners and invite to the banquet anyone you can find. So the servants went out into the streets and gathered all the people they could find, the bad as well as the good. And the wedding hall was filled with guests. Oh. Jesus died for all. But our church for the last couple hundred years has kept finding exceptions. Read Ellen White's story in the first volume of the Testimonies. This young girl, 13 years old, just can never feel okay with God. All she can think about is she has to be perfect. She can't have a single sin anywhere. She says she was never going to make it. Hopeless, hopeless, hopeless that she would survive the judgment. Jesus died for all except you. Then our Adventist church went through what they call the Great Disappointment of 1844. The moment they went through that and they could not see Jesus and he did not come, that little group that kept going after that came to the decision that they were the Matthew 25 bridegroom story, and that they had gone in with the bridegroom into the house, and everybody else around the world was outside, and they called it the shut door doctrine. That there was no hope for anybody else. You could be somewhere in the world. You never heard of 1844 or sanctuary or judgment or Jesus or the Bible. And you're outside. So Jesus died for all, but not really all. And then we came up with the idea of a judgment. That your name could come up at any time. And if you weren't perfect and you had forgotten some sin in your life somewhere, you would be taken off the list. But the Bible says in Romans 11, he died so he could have mercy on them all. And then we had the idea, okay, Jesus died. Okay. Jesus died for all your sins, but not on purpose sins, not knowing sin. And I was wiped out by that because every sin I committed, I knew what I was doing. I knew I was doing wrong. So now you're guilty. What does all mean? And then I grew up with the idea of what I call the in and out. You're saved and then all of a sudden you commit a known sin and now you're out. And then you had to go through all the hoops and get converted again. You're in and out. But Jesus says, lo, I am with you always. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of your life. You're not in and out. It is all the time. God is it all, God. And then we came down to the theology of theaters. And if you went into a theater, the angel stayed outside and you were beyond God. And if Jesus came while you were in there, or if you were to die in there, you would be lost. So Jesus died for all, but not all. But the Bible says pretty clearly, I am with you always. I go everywhere with you. And then we had a doctrine for a while that if anybody committed adultery, we would have a church business meeting and disfellowship them from the church. And they would be out for the rest of their life. If you married them, then you were out for the rest of your life. What they called the doctrine of perpetual adultery. So Jesus died for all your sins, but not all. Always some exceptions. I had a pastor friend of mine. Many of you will have heard his name if I were to use it. He was a shining star. Incredibly talented. Music and speaking and writing. Incredible. But he made some mistakes. He had a couple weaknesses, and he got taken out of the ministry. He ended up dating my cousin and marrying my cousin. Now he's in my family, and he's my cousin, and I loved him. But he wasn't always good to her, and that marriage fell apart. But while they were together, he begged me to fight with the conference to try to get him back into ministry. He said, Pastor Dan, I want to come back. Give me another chance. And I went to the conference, and I begged them. I said, "Can Jesus has forgiven him. Can he come back?" And they said, "No. What he did is just too big, too great. We cannot. So all didn't quite mean all. The marriage didn't work out. And a couple years later, they found him at a gas station, slumped over, had a heart attack. And their father called me and said, Pastor Dan, can the funeral be at the Garden Grove Church? And I preached his funeral sermon right here. And he was the pastor of this church for many years. Jesus died for him too. And then we've had a theology called the unpardonable sin and the close of probation. That there's maybe just some sins that are too big and they're just that Jesus died for all sins just does not include unpardonable sin and the close of probation. If you were to come 5 minutes late and come knocking on the door and say, I didn't hear and now I went in, it would be too late. But Jesus said, behold, I have set before you an open door that no one can shut. Does all mean all? Or does it not? We would say Jesus will never close the door on you. You can close the door on Jesus, but he will never close the door on you. So the last 4 weeks, we've been looking at all the all verses in the Bible. We've been doing them one by one. But today, Pastor Tuan, I want you to take this message with you wherever you go. So my final lesson for you. I would like to say with the trumpet tones the best I can, God is an all kind of God. That's who he is. We said John 12:32, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. Luke 2:10-12, I be not afraid, for I have good news of great joy. Today a Savior is born for all of you. Oh, God is an all kind of God. Romans 11, Jesus died so he could have mercy on everyone. He is an everyone kind of God. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth on him. God is a whosoever kind of God. He is all, he is always, lo, I am with you always, I will never leave you. He is always, all, everywhere, all the time, whosoever. He is a whosoever kind of God. Amen? No exceptions. No fine print. There are no cameras somewhere trying to catch people doing wrong so God can keep them out of heaven. The door is always open. The prodigal son could come home and the door was always open. The light is always on. You don't have to wonder whether God will say no or yes to you. He always says yes. The door was always open. And then he backs it up. And he goes around everywhere and he hangs out with prostitutes and with tax collectors and with drunkards. And he's willing to touch lepers and to hang out with Samaritans. And he embraces women who were not accepted by the world. It's all. And if you go back through the stories, God accepts David who commits murder and adultery. He accepts Solomon who had 1,000 wives and worshiping all their idols. And Manasseh, who everyone admitted was the worst king in history. He was worse than all the pagans. He said he was the worst than all of them. And God brings him back and makes him king again and forgives him. All means all. God is an all kind of God. And Ellen White, at 13 years old, absolutely stricken with the idea that she would never be good enough for God, goes to camp meeting in Buxton, Maine at 13 years old, and she hears a Methodist preacher preach on the story of Esther standing outside the throne of the king, knowing that if she goes in, she is breaking a law and deserves to die. And he tells the story that Esther went through the doors, and the king saw her and extended the scepter to her. And the preacher said, so many people are standing outside the throne room of the God of the universe, afraid that they will not find a God who is willing to accept them. He said, go on in before the king, and you will find a gracious God who will always accept you as you are. And Ellen White, at 13 years old, went to the front and gave her life to Christ. And you read the page after page as she describes this being in the sunshine of God. And for the rest of her life, she writes Steps to Christ and Desire of Ages and Mount of Blessing and Christ's Optic Lessons and basking in the warmth of knowing that God is an all kind of God. Everyone, always, everywhere, whosoever, forever. That's who God really is. I went out here by the Filipino potluck a couple weeks ago. Just gotten back from the Philippines. And three sisters who are in our church, precious friends of mine, done weddings and special events for them, gave me one of the best compliments I've ever had in 40 some years of doing this. They were in the Philippines while we were in the Manila doing evangelism. They drove 2 hours one night so they could be here to support us. And they just sat there and said, Pastor Dan, we have been to many crusades in our life and you are just different. And all the other crusades we have gone to, they make us feel unworthy. They make us feel terrible. They make us scared to death of Jesus and the judgment and the last days. You don't make us afraid. We don't feel unworthy. You give us the gospel and you tell us about a God of love and grace. We love what you have to say. I said, thank you. Given my life to try to say that. And somebody notices it and says, that's what we hear from you. God is all, always, everyone. Everywhere, all the time. Hilda and I were dating, went to a ship down in San Diego that was in port for a few hours. Our maid of honor in our wedding later, a wonderful friend of ours at Loma Linda, the nurse there, with a ship's nurse in that time. And she invited Hilda and I to come down. And so we drove down. We met her down on the dock. And we took us up the gangplank and we came to the guard. And she said to the guard, who she knew very well, "This is my sister and that's her husband." And Hilda's not her sister and I am not her husband. And the guy lets us in. I think he knew that maybe this wasn't quite true. For the next 2 hours, we got to see the whole ship. We got to go to the back. We got to see the kitchen. We saw everything. But every minute, I could not enjoy it because I knew I was not supposed to be here. I did not deserve to be on this ship. I had not paid a single dollar. And I was sure someone was going to find me out. I was illegal. And I understood a little bit what some of you have felt. We sat down in the wonderful dining room. And the head chef comes out. And I said, "I am cooked. I'm going to be thrown off this ship." But I wasn't. But Jesus says, "I have died for all sins. There is no one who doesn't deserve, no one who is illegal, no one doesn't deserve to be there. We all have had our sins paid for by Jesus." Amen? All. There was a wonderful book, Jerry, remember, came out 40 years ago from Portland, Oregon. Love, Acceptance, and Forgiveness by Jerry Cook. A bestseller, sold 70,000 copies overnight. I went to the church, visited. Famous story, he said, there was a pastor in Portland, Oregon who had made a terrible mistake. And now there's a new wife and there's a new baby and he is out of the ministry. And he keeps trying to find a church that will let him come to church, not be a pastor, just sit in the back. And for a year and a half, he had not been allowed into a single church. And he finally writes a letter to the Four Square Church, Jerry Cook at this church. And he said, "Jerry, I'm going to try one more time. I have gone a year and a half. I have been met at the door every single week for a year and a half and been asked to go home that they did not want my wife and I to be there. I can't, don't think I could endure that rejection one more time. Is there a chance you would let me come and just sit in the back? I don't have to say anything, be anything. Just let me sit in the back of a church again." And Jerry Cook wrote a note back and he said, "You come and I will meet you at the front door." Jesus died for the sins of all. Of all. The door is always open. Hilda and I were watching what they call Inside the Actor Studio years ago. And one night we were watching a famous story, but we watched this when it happened. And they had Meryl Streep on the show. And I don't know what you think of her, but most people would say she is in the top few of history of actors. And here she is, one of the most famous names, beautiful, talented women in history in our country. And they have a set of questions that they ask at the end of every show, and they asked her the questions. And the one question he asked every actor was, "If there is a God and there is a heaven, what do you want him to say when you come?" And just like that, she opened up her arms and she said, "Everybody's in." Everybody's in. Here she is with all her talent and money and history and just wants God to open the doors and say, "You're in." Not everyone is going to go in. But God invites everybody to go in. If you want to be in, you're in. Amen? That's the gospel. That's the gospel for you, Pastor Twan.